Well, good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you as we wrap up this week, Psalm 8. We've been in a series called God and Us, thinking about God and His care for us. And if you think about each aspect of it, it's like a beautiful picture, something we find in a photo album, going over the whole span of human history, not just our individual lives, but the lives of everyone from all time and how God has consistently shown His care. He made us in His image. He gave us His very glory, coming into the world, dwelling with us, showing us His love, giving us His righteousness. And then He calls us into His mission. It's pretty incredible. It reminds me of what my phone does. Your phone probably does this too, where it shows you those memories from your photo album. And over the years, I've collected a lot of pictures. I have a lot of pictures, over 200,000 in my photo library. I love taking pictures. I love taking pictures of everyday things, of special occasions. It doesn't really matter. I just love capturing things. And one of the things I love about taking a lot of pictures is I'll see those memories, and sometimes it'll be something that seemed inconsequential at the time, but it captured a place or some people that then later on there's more story to it. And you go back and you look and you see how things have changed. Buildings were built, trees grew, people that are sort of in the background that you didn't really know, now you know very well, all those sorts of things. And it's fascinating to look back. And it also, well, it provides some perspective because we can kind of forget how things were and just be thinking about how things are right now. And so I often get lost in that. I'll tap that little preview thumbnail and then start looking at all the pictures and maybe hit the button to see it in the context of the overall album and start looking at other pictures from that time and make those connections. In a way, I think as we've been going through Psalm 8, we're kind of seeing that for human history. Because as we think about all the connections we've seen about what God did in creation and what He's done since then, how He's redeemed us, how He calls us, He's telling us to look at those pictures, look at that photo album, and keep perspective on how it all comes together and what God intends for us. As we wrap up tonight, we're going to look back at the first part of the psalm. So if this is your first time with us, don't feel bad. We're going to do a little bit of review so that we don't miss that perspective. And then we're going to think about where this psalm has been taking us. So let's go ahead and pray, ask God to help us to see what He wants us to see, and then we'll dig right into Psalm 8. Would you join me? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your love. Would you help us to be people who follow you, people who show your love to this world, and people who never forget just how much you love us and the love that you've shown to us? Lord, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, let's start by actually going through. It's only a few verses, the whole psalm. So let's go ahead. We're going to look through the whole thing again tonight. And we're going to start that by going back to verse 1. Here's what David says. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. From the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have established a stronghold on account of your adversaries in order to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is a human being that you remember him? A son of man that you look after him? You made him little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, as well as all the animals in the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the seas. Think about all those things, all the things that God has made, and how he has given us dominion over them, how he's called us to care about that creation. This is the one who can stop every enemy. We saw that in verse 2. This is the one who can speak the heavens into existence. We were thinking more about that last night as we talked during the Sunday sermon about God's calling to us to be people of truth and how God's very word creates things. Well, all this majesty, all this amazingness that we're talking about here, these are the things that God, he spoke them and they came into existence. And he's the one that stops and cares about us. How amazing is that? That's where we've been dwelling these last weeks, thinking about this great artist, this great creator, this great power, who isn't distant like some foreign leader, or domestic leader for that matter, or some acclaimed creator. He's right there with us. And in fact, as he made these things, he wasn't making them for some highly respected peer of his own. No, he was making them to put us in them, to have a relationship with him. Even though we have no means by which to say that we deserve it, that we can measure up to it, that we somehow fit into this. And yet God made it. And the God who made these things, he continues to care, he continues to be with us. And that's what's so beautiful. Let's just go back for a second to the beginning. I just want to pull this back up. We look here about how David's talking about what God made in verse 1. And then he reflects on how he looks after us. A son of man that you look after him. And you think about that. How incredible is that, really? Do you really think about that? Do I really think about that? Maybe in a certain moment we do. Maybe when things are going incredibly well. Maybe in a moment where we're in a particularly breathtaking place, we look at creation and we think, wow, I'm so thankful that God made this and lets me experience it. But so often we just get busy and maybe we think about an aspect of what God does for us. Maybe even a really good aspect, like God has saved us, but we forget, but God has saved us as the one who created all this stuff. This beauty, this wonder, this splendor, the one who has all that power. And he created us so that we could enjoy it and enjoy it in relationship to him. He created it and made it and placed us in it and then saves us so again we can enjoy it. We were talking a few weeks ago in Sunday School Express about this very thing that sometimes we view the earth and we think, well, this is something to be escaped for that day that we are in God's presence, and yet we look at scripture and God made this place for us to be in and to enjoy with him. And we look forward to the new heavens and new earth, the day that Jesus returns, because these things are meant to be enjoyed more fully with him. Earth isn't some lesser thing, it's the artist's creation, and we're a part of it. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that is. And yet how often do we forget what God has done for us? How often do I forget what God has done for me? I set my sights on the next thing I need to get accomplished, or next thing I'm worried about, or oftentimes those two go hand in hand, and I'm focused on that and I forget. But here I am. If I'm sitting here right now with you, and I'm thinking about the things that I could be worrying about, that maybe, well, let's not kid ourselves that I am worrying about, right? I'm a good worrier. But I'm here in this place that sustains me, this place that is a place where I actually have breath and live, and I'm loved by God in that place. And can I keep that perspective in it? The reason I want us to go through the whole psalm at once on this last message in Psalm 8, because we've been looking at it piece by piece over the last few weeks, and it's really easy to forget how all the pieces come together. It feels like the news cycle's been particularly wild since we started this series, and you know, we can forget where we were. But that's true of life in general. We see for a moment where God's working and how he's working, but do we hold on to it? And do we immerse ourselves in it? Are we feeling that when things are pulling at our attention? It's sort of like if you were at an all-you-could-eat buffet. Now, imagine you go to like a Sunday brunch and it has all kinds of wonderful things out there for you to eat. There's an omelet station, you can have omelets made, there's magnificent hash browns, there's some wonderful sausage, and then there's pastries, there's this lovely display of beautifully iced donuts that just look so delicious and call to you. There's all these wonderful things. Now, a lot of times if you go to a place that has a brunch like that, Sunday all-you-can-eat buffet, that kind of thing, but it isn't like a buffet restaurant in general. They also have a menu, and you can go in there and you can see all those things. And maybe I haven't been to a Sunday buffet in a while, so it's probably more than this now. But let's say it's $10.95, and probably $20.95 for all I know right now. But you go into that, you look at it, you survey it, you see all these things, and then you say, "Waiter, could I have a menu, please? I'd like to order off the menu." Now, what would often happen is the waiter would say, "Well, you can if you'd like, but you know most everything on that menu, well, it's out there on that buffet, and unlike the menu, it's only $10.95. If you order off the menu, it's going to be at least that for one or two items. You're not going to get as much as you want. I'd recommend you take the buffet." And yet, you say, "No, I want the menu." And then you look at the menu and say, "I'll take one of these donuts and some hash browns." Waiter says, "Well, donut, okay, hash browns. You realize a couple of donuts and hash browns, that costs as much as the buffet." No, I want it off the menu." A lot of times that's what we're doing with God. We look at the beauty of what He's given us. He's given us everything we need, and not just so we can get by at a subsistence level, not just to keep us alive, not like the horror we've been seeing as the hostages have been released from Gaza, and we see that the terrorists of Hamas have been keeping these people just barely subsisting alive, these prisoners from Israel, where they've just it's almost a miracle these people are even alive still. Did they receive what they need to stay alive? Well, apparently so, they're alive. Did they receive what they could thrive off of? No. We think about what God does for us. Does He give us what we just need, where we'll be skin and bones and people will marvel that we're still even alive? No. What does He give? He gives us eternal life in His presence, the best thing we could possibly receive. He gives us that. But here we look at the buffet and we see all the beauty of it. It's perfectly beautiful. Everything we could want. And we say, "But God, I'd like to see the menu and see if I can see something else I'd like instead." And so often that's what I do. God's providing what I need, and not just what I need in that survival level, but genuinely to be the person that God's made me to be the people that God's made you to be. And yet that menu seems so alluring. And Satan, unlike that helpful waiter I mentioned, he says, "Here, let me give you the menu. Take a look at what else can be on there." And he says, "By the way, look at these things that aren't on the buffet. You probably want some of those." And he says, "That's what you really want." Now, sound like Psalm 8 is meant to refocus us and to say, what you really need is what God has for you. It's just there. You don't have to earn it by your own wit and wisdom. You don't have to somehow make it to a certain level and then God will provide it. No, God is ushered you in. The donuts are there, the omelets are there, everything that you could possibly want, it's there for you. All you need to do is say, "Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be at your heavenly banquet, your heavenly buffet. I want that. I don't want the things of the world that claim to be good but aren't really." And I think as David was going over this, that's where he was probably centering his own heart and where he was calling us to center ours, because so often we think, well, the birds of the sky, they have what they need. I don't know that I have what I need. It's hard to go from that step that we acknowledge God's provision to what's out there around us, to really acknowledging God's provision for you and for me. When I'm focusing on my lack, I look at how to fix it. I look at how to make it so that I have what I think I need, but what God wants, He doesn't want me to do that. He wants me to be fixated on the provision that He provides and the one who provides it. We move on to verse 9, the last verse in our psalm. David repeats his wonder at God. He says, "Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth." Here's the thing that we find in this psalm. We need to focus on God. If you're at that buffet, you need to focus on the person showing you around it and what he or she's showing you, not on what might not be there. And when we're reading scripture, what it's calling us to do over and over again is focus on God and what he's doing for us, Know that he's the good heavenly father. He's not gonna hold us like a hostage and let us wither down to skin and bones. He's the one who's going to give us the only true nourishment, the only true hope that will bring us to genuine life. Right now, we are those skin and bones. Right now, that's where we're at. But God is going to draw us away from that and to where we should be. So David has the right response here. What does he do? He worships God. And when we come together and we worship God, he's taking us to that place. He's reminding us of what really matters. That's him and his love for us. And he's calling us not to get completely fixated constantly on everything else that calls for our attention, the things that grab my attention, that grab your attention. Look at that again. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name. His name's key. We need to be reminded that we shouldn't just have this general vague thankfulness to the universe. No, God wants us to be thankful to him, to be focused on him. And that's for our own good, because when we're focused on him and we actually read scripture and we see whom it is that we worship, we can have confidence that he really is going to do what he said, and he's going to continue to do what he said time and time again, that he's there for us, that he will be there for us. That his promises, even the ones that aren't yet fully true in our experience, are true. Because there's a difference there. There's a difference between what is true in our experience. None of us have experienced life without sin, for example. And what's true, that God is rescuing us from sin and that is what's going to be experienced. We can't even imagine it yet. But God's saying, trust that I am going to provide that for you. That the promises, what you're seeing, isn't a mirage. It's the reality you're headed to. So stop and be in wonder, because that's what's ahead. That's what God wants for us. And yet, a lot of times when we come before him in prayer, I think we're so filled with doubts because our own experiences aren't where we hope they would be yet, and we wonder if they ever will be, that we don't approach with expectation that God's going to bring that good to us. Sort of like if you have one of those smart speakers. I admit, those of you that are with me on a regular basis, you know I'm a geek. I love all that stuff. I love being able to use voice assistants to turn lights on and off and all that sort of thing. That's something that I enjoy, but I kind of need to put a qualification on that enjoyment. And those of you that have a smart speaker or smart speakers, well, you probably already know where I'm going with this. You know that a lot of times you ask for those speakers to do something. You ask, I'm not going to say the name and accidentally trigger it right now, but that one from Amazon or that one from Apple or that one from Google, you know what I'm talking about. You have one of those and you say the catchword and the speaker listens and then you ask for something, right? And as much as I enjoy it, you know, most of the time when I say to that speaker, hey, would you turn on the lights or turn off the lights? I expect to say it two, three, four times. I don't expect it to work the first time. Doesn't make me happy. I set a timer on it and I tell it to stop at the end of the timer and I have to say it two or three times. That doesn't make me happy. But I already expect it. I just assume it's not going to work. And occasionally when it does, I end up then throwing her for a loop because I'm already repeating my request, expecting it to fail. And a lot of times I think that's how we are when we come to God in prayer. When we come to God in worship, we worship him, we pray to him. And yet, we don't really expect he's going to fulfill it. Because our life says that things don't get fulfilled. Our life says that things break down and don't go where we hope necessarily. And so we think that it's not there now, and it's probably not going to be there. And maybe, maybe, maybe someday. But God says you can be confident. So he's calling us to a more focused worship. But here's a second lesson we can learn from those speakers that don't work about what we're called to in worship. You know, part of the problem with those speakers, if you ask them to do something, is a lot of times they respond to do something else, right? For example, I like to listen to our local famed radio station KMOX, and so I'll ask the speaker to turn on KMOX. And at least a quarter of the time, no, I'm being optimistic, probably half the time, I have to quickly ask a second time because what does she do at first? She tries to turn on this horrible rap music that has terrible language in it instead, that for some reason she thinks is what I mean when I say, please turn on KMOX. No idea why. She loses focus, right? If she were focused on what I actually like to do, looked at my activity log, it would be, well, he likes to listen to the local talk radio station. He likes to hear what's going on in the city. He likes to hear what's going on in the political situation or what the weather is or all those sorts of things. He likes to listen to Cardinals baseball when it's on. He never actually asked to listen to explicit rap music, but she loses focus, and I don't know what in the logic of that causes it to happen, but I can say that same misfiring happens to me an awful lot, right? I worship God. He tells me to focus on him, on his provision, and how he's faithfully going to do it, that I can count on it. And yet I get out and he sends each and every one of us out to do his work. And what do? I start focusing on my own things again. I start focusing on how it's not going to work. And even when I'm focused on what God wants me to do, I don't keep my focus on how he wants me to do it, how he wants me to love him, and how he wants me to show love to other people. And so often, there is the challenge, friends, as we think about how we live as Christians. How often is it that we hold on to part of how God sent us out, but we're like that smart speaker and we start playing some atrocious, horrible thing rather than the thing that God wants us to play because we're not actually focused on him and his character and what he wants, what he calls us to faithfully? And here's the thing. You look at a smart speaker, and I'm a human being that sometimes forgets what I really want her to do. And I say something, and it's confusing, and I confuse her. And then I think I want one light on, I really want another one. I change my mind. God doesn't do that. And so, as I think about my own lack of focus, it's completely on me because God's consistent. What does he want us to do? He wants us to focus on him and love those around us, show his love to them, to care for them. He doesn't want us to do all those things that instead grab our attention. He wants us to live in that grid, in that lens of his love coming to us and going out to others. He wants us to share the hope of the gospel in that sense. He wants us to do our work with that in mind. He wants us to live in our neighborhoods with that in mind, to care for one another, our friends and our family with that in mind. That's where he wants us. And so what do we need to do? We need to come back to this verse you see on screen. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Because when that's our focus, when that's where we are, when that's what we're holding on to, it becomes so much harder to play the wrong song. We could still do it. We're really good at getting off focus. We can say, God, please help me. I want to focus more on you. I want to feel more confident in your love. I want to have it in me so it's just pouring out of me because I just feel it so clearly. And we can keep asking God for the help to have that in us and then to direct us so that we show it as we go into that world that he's made, that beautiful, beautiful world. That's the focus he wants. And we have his love and his wonder and his majesty and his power, the things we see in the psalm, in our focus, it becomes so much easier to focus on the things he wants us to do. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we do pray that you'd help us to focus on what you want us to focus on, to keep our eyes fixed on you. And Lord, if we're not really sure if you love us or how much you love us or if you're really with us, Lord, tonight, would you help bring that into focus for us, that we would see that? Because indeed, you tell us over and over again that you do. All we need to do is turn to you. And Lord, once we do, would you keep us focused? Would you help us not to get onto the wrong playlist, but rather to follow you each and every day and to show your love and your care in everything we do? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I always ask if you would give us a like or a share. I sure appreciate it when you do because, We have a hard time focusing, you and I do. I think I can speak for all of us on that. We get off focus, but so do the people we know. And when you give a like or a share and you help get the word out, it makes a difference. I also want to say specifically, you know about Facebook and X and YouTube and so on, and I thank you when you share on those things. But I've made a call over the last few months to our church to get involved in the Fediverse, and I just want to talk about that for a second as I think about a way for us to live this love. Because we see a society right now that, it's amazing. We've gotten kind of used to certain common places we can go and connect with people online. It's sort of shattering because people are going into their silos. And one of the things that I think that's interesting coming up is there's an opportunity to see this decentralized thing emerge, this decentralized network emerge, where we Christians can gather together, but we can also show God's love to people who don't yet know him in the context of that. And that's what's happening. It's still the ground floor. But if you heard that call over the last few months, as I've mentioned it, or you've heard about it elsewhere, can I encourage you to either get involved in your account or sign up for one? There's all kinds of great stuff on there. I just was scrolling through my feed earlier today and recorded this. I have some neat tech stuff, some neat stuff about the United States, some little theological things, political things, just regular, just memes and stuff, the regular stuff that we're used to seeing on social media. It's all populated in there. I found some neat accounts, found some neat fellow believers on there. But I keep thinking, particularly for us as a church, what can we do? Well, there aren't a lot of churches and folks that are actively involved in sharing what's going on in the church on there right now. And so it's a great opportunity for us to add the voice of God's love there. And so I think that's a great opportunity. I've been trying to post some fun, interesting things you just saw a moment ago. If you're watching the screen, scroll by a church in Iraq, a historic church that was just restored. I found something about that on there and shared it. Just some neat things. Anyway, it's not there yet. There's still a lot of stuff that we're used to that isn't on there, but check it out and maybe consider posting a scripture, post a meme about God's love, post a fun photo of your day on there. And if you need help signing up, just let me know. I'd love to help you sign up. But here's the thing that I think is neat. If we keep FaithTree.social, our little aspect of it, active, it helps it reach the larger network of different servers that include Threads, Facebook's competitor to Twitter. It helps us get out there and share God's love. And it sounds kind of silly, but here's the reality. Most of us spend probably too much time on social media. But how can we use it as a tool? That's what I really want to think about as Christians together that come together like we do here at Little Hills. And I think this is an opportunity because it's a pioneering place and it's a chance for us to speak what needs to be said. We need to show God's love. And so I hope you'll join me on that. If you already signed up, like I said, maybe just check it back out. Check out some of the accounts that I've been following that I think are kind of fun. And like I said, I'd be glad to help you either get further engaged or get signed up if you don't know how and see what God can do with that. There's that smart speaker helping me out. Not all technology cooperates, but that is one good reminder as she's trying to speak over me. One thing I do love about this is it's not an algorithm, another AI trying to figure out what you'll see. If you follow certain accounts, those are the ones you're going to see, which is, I think, kind of neat. Anyway, please do check that out. Also, just a reminder, we just finished a series, but we have a brand new series next week. We're going into Psalm 9, the series called The King Who Cares. And I think it's going to pick up where we were in Psalm 8 and carry us further, thinking about everything we face, everything our world faces, and what God does for us. So, speaking of sharing too, maybe share that and let somebody know. Hey, I'm going to be in this study on Psalm 9 next week. Would you join me? Just come online with me. We'll be in the chat together and we can hear about God and his care for us. I hope that you'll do that. In the meantime, if you're going through anything, if you need to be reminded of how God cares for you, or you could just use prayer because you know God cares and you like his church to be praying with you, please do check out our prayer line. And you can do that by texting 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. Or you can leave a prayer request in the comments below. It's always great to hear from you there as well. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week. I'll see you again very soon.